B-Pod Studios.
Dan Orlovsky. Dan, what's happening, brother?
Not much, man. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
Fantastic, my friend. We are very much enjoying the play of Carson Wentz over the last, really, last 2 weeks and then a little bit of the 3 weeks ago game against Cincinnati Bengals. So Carson Wentz has taken these big steps forward, I think, in the last couple of weeks here. What have you seen from him that seems like it's working the best?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that he, over the last probably 10 quarters or so, has looked much more like himself and the player that he is than kind of what we saw in the first 2 weeks. I'll say a couple of things that stand out. One, the mechanical things that were there early on in the season have certainly kind of, I don't want to say gone away, but they're in the lesser amount per game than normal. The feet are in a much healthier place. The balance in the pocket, it is a much healthier place. He's seeing things much more confidently. I think that's a big thing too, Mark, is like you can watch him play right now. And I say this all the time, like with quarterbacks, you can tell how confident they are with their decisions or where they're going with the football right when it leaves their hands. You know, like it's you can just see, like, I'm letting this ball go and I know it's where it's supposed to be just right when it leaves their hands. And I think Carson's really done that well over the last 2 weeks and confident in what he's seeing and what his eyes are telling him. And so this is all like a chain reaction thing. It's the mechanics that had to get kind of rectified. It was, okay, is he seeing things the right way? And then, does he believe that what he's doing with the football is the right thing and where he's throwing the football is the right place? And so those have been massive, massive jumps for him over the last 2 weeks.
Two things that have really jumped out as far as the last 3 weeks go. One, Carson Wentz, the athlete. He seems to be confident that he can make a play, whether it be with his legs or with his arms. And that's not just him running for yards. That's him extending plays. And then the other thing has been Travis Fulgham having a receiver that he's confident enough to throw the football to. How much of those played into, you know, how he has progressed over the last couple of weeks?
Well, big deal. You know, like when you're a runaround type of athlete, like oftentimes coaches would we'd have conversations in meetings of like, hey, do we want to get a quarterback run up early in this game just to get him feeling like he's part of the football game and kind of, okay, he takes a hit. Oftentimes that's something quarterbacks need to feel like they're part of the football game. It's like, all right, I got to get hit. Every quarterback says, like, once I take the hit, all right, I'm ready to go. I'm settled into the game. And so, but, you know, that's been a really big deal. It's also helped their offense. You know, it's really helped their offense. And I think it's given Carson the confidence that he's not just a quarterback. He is a playmaker. And I've said this for probably over a year now. Like, quarterbacks are different in the NFL than years ago. Like, you've got to be a playmaker. You can't just knock down the open jump shot. You got to go to the rim and get the shot yourself. And so I think we've seen that more out of Carson. And I said this last week to you guys. You know, the willingness for the coaching staff to be like, okay, we got to deploy that a little bit. We got to be, you know, we can't live in a cautious state. And then Fulgham, you know, it's funny, Mark. I was doing stuff for the Lions years ago, you know, kind of just getting into this business. And they drafted Fulgham. And so I had to kind of break down Fulgham's tape and do something for them as an organization. And, you know, I was impressed with his, like, ball skills, his body control. I'm going to say something. Please, people, don't freak out. But, like, the body control stuff reminded me of Larry Fitzgerald. No, he's not Larry Fitzgerald. But just the body control when the ball was in the air reminded me of that out of Larry. So I remember saying that for them, breaking down some tape. And so I don't believe that's an anomaly. I believe that once guys get into a game and they do something like that, they go, huh, I do belong. You know, and so his challenge is going to be staying hungry. You know, staying hungry and staying, you know, driven and not content after one game. But those two guys have certainly stepped up with your just impact on the game.
I like how you preface that, like, don't freak out when you know we're going to freak out. Like, here's what's going
to happen. Exactly. Way to know your audience, Dan.
and that's wild, and I'm glad you noticed that, and I'm also glad that the Lions apparently didn't listen to you all that much when it came to that pick. Or not pick,
well,
but keep it.
A perfect example is this. I don't want to take shots at, but, like, a perfect example is that ball that Carson throws to Hightower late at the first half. You know, the deep ball scramble around the launch. He doesn't have that trait yet. He doesn't have that quality of trying to go control his body up in the air, track a football with his hand-eye coordination and make that catch, let alone touch the football. Fulgham's got that stuff. And so that's not something that's – I don't think that's something that's really teachable. You know, that is something that's, you know, acquired over time, and you've got these hand-eye coordination and this timing and spatial awareness skill. that's the big difference between one player having it and one player not.
Dan, I was saying earlier that with a Fulgham now and him getting comfortable with him, last year he got comfortable with a Greg Ward, and they had a nice touchdown again the other day against Pittsburgh on a play that they got familiar with last year. The one guy that he's not really having that comfort with right now is Zach Ertz. Do you see them getting it back? What do you see as the major problem there with Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz right now?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, that interception that Carson throws in the second half to kind of open the second half, that's on Carson. You know, it seems, watching it on tape, it seems like Carson broke the huddle and was like, I'm throwing this ball to Zach Ertz. I don't care what the coverage is, I'm just throwing it to him. You know, almost trying to get him going, so to speak, because the linebacker drops underneath and that ball should go to Miles in the flat for an easy throw. But his mind was just made up, it seems like. You know, their lack of connection right now is, I'll be honest with you, Zach does not look like the same player this year that he has in the past. Can he still be a very impactful and good player? Of course. But he's not that, oh my gosh, what are we, like, how are we matching up against Zach Ertz, pre-snap guy right now? He looks a little bit aged, so to speak. And so I think that Carson's trying to figure out, you know, where he is as a player right now. Because he's not the same player he was 3 years ago or 2 years ago. And so, just trying to gauge, okay, where's his speed? How's he coming out of cuts? What matchup is he actually winning on? All that stuff, you know, it's part of this kind of, you know, ever-growing process, and they're not on the same page right now. It seems like Carson's throwing to him a lot of times, like it's 2017 or 2018, and Zach's just not there right now. Now, hopefully he gets his legs under him a little bit more and starts to get a, you know, kind of a feel for this season. But they've got to figure out exactly what routes that Zach is confident in winning right now. And that's the big thing is, like, what can he win on right now? Maybe it's not seven routes. Maybe it's four. But they have to figure out how he can win more right now. I'd say a lot of them is crossing the field more than trying to get settled at the top of your break and breaking out. But they've got to get an understanding of where kind of Zach is with his ability to beat coverage right now.
That's exactly what my question was going to be, Dan, because I was saying earlier, okay, he's not what he was, but he's also not a nobody. He's still somebody that can catch a ball somehow, some way. Is it really hard to change what you said, him not being what he was to be that 116 catch or 90 catch guy into being a guy, okay, we found a different way to be open? Is it really hard to do for a Doug Peterson?
No, I don't think it's super hard to do. Like, a perfect example would be what the Patriots really started to realize about Rob Gronkowski in the latter part of his years in New England was, you know, Rob was this guy that, you know, when he was at his peak, when he was at his best, he could do everything pass game-wise, everything. You wanted him to body defenders, he could do that. Run down the field, he could do that. Cross the field, he could do that. Get in and out of cuts, he could do that. And Zach was that type of player as well. And then right now, on tape, Zach is not a guy you want to break down. You don't want to get his feet really stopping that much. You want to keep him on the move. And so a lot of times it's how can we get him started and just keep him going? Instead of, you know, he used to be this guy, again, 3 or 4 years ago, where he would get in and out of cuts sharply and you know, square stuff off and defenders would get running and he could snap stuff off and win against them. That's not the case right now. And so, but can you still be super impactful and get 6 or 7 catches a game? Yes. But it's got to be stuff where once he gets going, don't ask him to stop. So maybe it's more of a rounded route concept where you can get sail routes and deep crosses and shallow crosses and seams. Those are the things that if I'm Philly, I'm focusing on getting Zach going with more than, you know, sharp outs or sharp in cuts or corner routes where he's got to stop his feet and settle his feet, because that's where he looks to be a different player.
Speaking with Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, you mentioned the flat route with Miles Sanders on the interception to Zach Ertz. You got to check down there. It seems like Carson has a hesitancy to check down, and one of the examples I'll give you is the first and 10 play. Carson ended up taking a 3-yard loss on a sack on the same possession they ended up kicking and missing the 57-yard field goal against the Steelers. It looked like Charles Rogers was available, or Richard Rogers, was available in the flat there. He looked like he was locked in on Travis Fulgham, who he may have had deep, probably did. He ended up taking the sack. Do you notice that he doesn't really check down too often? And if you do, why not?
Yeah, no, he's not a check down quarterback. Why not? You probably heard me say this, Mark. I was with Matthew Stafford when this was part of his game as well. because they know they can. Like they know they don't. These guys that have really, really special arm talent, they just know I can make that throw. I don't need to make that check down. I can make that throw. Now, you know, this is a really, really interesting conversation and fine line as well, because there's some quarterbacks that you just go, just take the check down, because the way our team is built, that's a really good and positive play. You know, a perfect example would be Josh Allen the other night against Tennessee. Just take check downs. Now, he wasn't able to as well. That's why they lost that football game. You saw it early on in that game. That's why he forces that interception. Phillip Rivers right now, just take the check down. We got the best defense in football. I don't need you to force the ball. I kind of see it the same way that Carson does. Like right now with where this team is, he can't be Charlie check down. He needs to be willing to be aggressive with the football. Now, it's a very fine line. That's why it's such an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a super fine line because you don't want to force the ball, but you've got to be willing to kind of put the ball in harm's way at certain times because your football team is suffered so many injuries and isn't playing great, you know, as a full football team. And so, you know, it's a really fine line. I don't think he's that type of player, but I'll go back to the conversation that I had weeks ago with you guys was that's where he needs to have a very clear understanding. Why are you calling this play? Why are you calling this play at this moment? If you want me to push the ball downfield, I'm a commit to pushing the ball downfield. If it's first and 10 or second and 8 and you're going, hey, worst case scenario, get a completion here, then I've got to be willing and understanding that check down is huge here.
See, now look, and Dan, you know, you played in the league. I played backup quarterback for one game my freshman year in high school. So I'm going to take your advice on this. But when it comes to that particular play, I'm looking at it and I'm armchair quarterbacking the hell out of it. Why, when Carson feels that pressure coming, and that's why he starts stepping up in the pocket, and he may have Fulgham down low or down the field. If he doesn't, and he knows he has Richard Rodgers there in the flat, why not? Why take the sack, and why not just try to get to a second and 5 on a series where they ended up missing a field goal?
One, because he doesn't think he's going to get sacked. You know, like he just doesn't think he'll go down. Those guys are just ultimate warriors. Where, you know, I think there's also this thought process too, and this is actually, I've had this conversation over the past couple of weeks with a couple of quarterbacks around the league. You know, a lot of times quarterbacks live in a world where they get told and taught, can't take a sack. It's like the worst thing in the world to take a sack, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then their coaches are also like, hey, we're trying to create these plays down the field. And the quarterback like has to realize like, and so does the coach. Coach, if you want me to make these throws down the field or you want me to get through these progressions, then you got to be willing to that sack is going to be an option on this play. Like, you can't ask me to trust our pocket, but then, you know, like get the ball out of my hands so quickly type of thing. Does that make sense? Where like sometimes quarterbacks get to a point where they say to themselves, a sack is okay because that is going to allow me to create more bigger pass plays down the field. You know, like they get out of their mind, like the worst case scenario on this play is taking a sack. They actually start to think the worst case scenario on this play is me missing the opportunity to push the ball downfield.
I think we commoners would call that almost like a superhero complex.
Yeah. It's just, but that's why it's such a fascinating situation because, right. You know, you want the quarterback that's going, I can make that throw. Like, sure. I can make that play. I'm okay with taking that sack because I know I'll make a play up for it. Next play type of thought, you know, to get to second or third down. And so, you know, it's a very fine line. I know that people won't agree with me, but I kind of lean on the way that Carson thinks right now. Like they've got to create some big plays. You know, it's really hard to go 14 play drives. It's really, really hard, especially when, you know, talent around you isn't ridiculously outstanding. And so, you know, I think that having those calculated thought processes of like, okay, I might have to hold on to this one just for a little bit longer because if I do, it's 40 yards.
Dan, on that big play scenario, I think all of us going into the season thought that their biggest big play maker would be Miles Sanders. What's your feelings on how Doug Peterson has used him this year?
Yeah, I agree. Miles is an outstanding player. I think he's getting used really well. I thought, you know, the display of speed down the field was impressive on that touchdown run. And you know, I'd say this, like, do I think that they can use him more in their structured passing game? Yeah, probably. More, not like they do sometimes, like they'll flex him out and give him a route option. But I don't know the communication, but I would like to see them more geared towards like, hey, he's number one in our progression here. Like,
yeah.
I want him to be a part of our progression, not like if you just love the matchup. Because I think that he's shown the ability to win on a consistent basis. I'd actually make this point. The it was third and four before the missed field goal when he throws that short out or short in
yeah.
to Travis Fulgham. Right. If you watch the tape, Miles is backside in the slot. He's got a linebacker on him, and he actually is open. But Carson got the snap and immediately went to the right. And I would like to go like, okay, Carson, Miles is one in this progression, not dependent on coverage. Like, let's start with him and make sure the defense tells you no. Don't throw it to him rather than, all right, do I love my matchup? Does that make sense to you guys? Like, where
absolutely.
You know, you line him up there and go, make the defense tell you you can't throw it to him mm-hmm. more than make the defense tell you, okay, if you want to throw it to him. And so I just think that, like, I'd like to see that a little bit more. He's not just a screen back. You know, I think he's really, what Le'Veon Bell was type of player 4 years ago, where they would put Le'Veon outside and be like, I don't care who's covering him, make him cover him. And I think he's really becoming that type of player on tape in their pass game.
Last thing for you, speaking with Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, Baltimore Ravens come into town with a defense that has the third most takeaways. They've allowed the least points per game in the NFL. How do the Eagles, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, exploit any weakness on that Ravens defense?
Yeah, I mean, the big challenge for them is it's almost similar to last week. You know, the pressure package is going to come. You know, it's a big part of their defense. You know, I'd say two big things. Where's 93 and where's 24? That's a huge part of this game. Like, Calais Campbell has become such an impactful player for that defense. And I'd say Carson cannot play ignorant with the football and when it comes to their blitz package. So many quarterbacks play ignorant with the football. Like, okay, Baltimore will show their all-out pressure, and you'll think, like, oh, I'm just going to throw a slant behind this all-out pressure, which is a huge part of the Eagles' offense, by the way. And Calais Campbell at 6'8", drops out underneath that pressure package, and defenses throw or quarterbacks throw it right to him. Don't do that. Like, you already know. Don't do that. When they are bringing their pressure, do not throw the ball inside. Number two, don't throw it at 24 when they're blitzing. Just don't, because he's the greediest quarterback or cornerback in football. You guys remember Asante Samuel? He's Asante Samuel type of player where, like, he's willing to give you a big play down the field because his eyes are so nosy. He knows the ball's got to come out. So, like, I'm working away from 24 and pass or in blitz packages. I'm knowing where 93 is at all times in their blitz package, not throwing the ball on the inside. So, you know, they got to be willing to take advantage of their aggressiveness. You know, when you feel, okay, here comes the pressure, leave an extra block in there. And this is the moment where you tell Carson, hey, instead of getting 10 yards in your drop, get to 12 and let's try to take a shot at 24. I'm not throwing anything under 15 yards. Let's take a shot at them. And yeah, you got to be willing to have a guy that's out there that's really good with his ball skills. So I'm putting 13 on him because Marcus is a great ball skill player. But you've got to be willing to, okay, when you're going to bring your pressure, we're going to be very calculated with how we go after you. And then the ball's got to get to the perimeter. They got to play this game 53 and a third, sideline to sideline. Do not play the ball in between the hashes.
Calais Campbell, still 34 years old, still getting it done. Dan, I can't thank you enough, man. You always bring great insight. Really appreciate it. And the only thing we'll take away is the hot take that basically Travis Fulgham is Larry Fitzgerald. So that's about it.
Yeah, that shouldn't.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry. When we play it, we'll give full context. Don't you worry, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.